us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for this time together, this time that we can be together and enjoy one another's company, hear beautiful music, see each other's smiling faces. We thank you that we can join in with the company of saints. We can hear the scriptures that have been heard for thousands of years, and we can pause and hear what new word you would speak to us in our hearts by faith. We give you thanks for all these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may remember from school a long time ago, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and her five stages of grief, right? You've got denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. I have been working on the five stages of dealing with a hurricane. I'm just working on it. It's at the wood shop. I'm just chipping away here. I feel like the first stage, I don't have a term yet, but it has to do with anxiety and worry and the cone of uncertainty. All the conversations we've had, you've been a part of these. You don't even want to be a part of these conversations, but you've been a part of them. What's going to happen? Is it going to be the European model? Is it going to be the other model? Is it going to be, it's like people throw, oh, what about, you know, what does Dubai think? Well, who, you know, it's nuts. Worry, anxiety, just churning. The wind speed of the anxiety of people in your life for the past few days is way over 150 miles an hour, isn't it? I mean, so I feel like that's probably the first stage, right? You have anxiety, worry. Then maybe the second stage is kind of a twin stage of frustration and preparation. Those seem to go hand in hand. You're preparing and you're frustrated that you're preparing. Some of you don't, you know, these stages you might hop around because some of you are like, I'm prepared. I've been prepared. You know, I was an Eagle Scout. I know the motto, be prepared. The full motto of the Boy Scouts is, of course, be prepared to wait. But never mind. So, I mean, the greatest thing that happened to me this week was I obtained a canister of propane. Miracle. We were talking about secular miracles a few weeks ago. Secular miracle. I called up, and I'm going to give them a shout out. They have not provided anything for the sermon. I'm not getting any kickbacks, but I'm going to give them a shout out. Ace on Bloomingdale. I had a very awkward phone call with them. I said, and it was like Eeyore, I don't suppose you have any canisters of propane. And the woman on the phone said, yeah. And I was like immediately from Eeyore to Tigger. I was like, you have canisters of propane? She said, yeah. I said, are they full of propane? She said, no. And I said, she said, you buy them inside, and then you go out and you get them filled here. I said, you get them filled there? She said, yeah. And I said, okay. And she said, who is this? And I said, I'm the pastor of the Methodist Church. And then I hung up. I didn't really say that, but I wish that at every weird and terrible experience I have with people in the world, I could just say that I was a Methodist pastor and hang up. Be like, just like, you know, oh, she has a choir, Methodist Church. So I mean, I can't believe it. I got a canister of propane. It's a miracle. And you can thank me if this thing turns out to sea and doesn't come here. I believe it's because of me. What was that in the prayer of confession about being humble? Okay, so then the third stage, I think the third stage might actually be the actual storm event. You know, that finally does or doesn't do whatever it was or was not going to do. It doesn't know. And then, that's not very exciting. And then the fourth stage is just being wet or hot and wet. Any variation of those things. Too much moisture, too much heat, whatever, and not enough something else, right? And then the fifth stage would just be being all right again. And you could probably float around between these stages, right? Just like a lot of theorists talk about, you move between the different stages of grief. You're not always dealing with, you know, oh, I'm finally at acceptance. Oh, what happened? I'm back at bargaining again. You know, you're moving around. So these are their five stages. It's kind of shocking to me that our passage has a lot of storm imagery in it this week. This is our final piece, And we're talking about faith today. It's our final time with Habakkuk, our minor prophet. And so there's a lot of imagery about the storm. The first couple of verses, in verse 2 and 3, well, first of all, let me just say that this last chapter looks very much like a psalm. It could have been a later addition by scribes, kind of putting it in, thinking they were going to round out Habakkuk. That sometimes this happened. Scribes felt like the book was overly negative, and so they would add something at the end. Now, it is a little bit hilarious that someone would think that this chapter is overly positive, but it does seem a little different. We have this a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk, according to the Sigionoth, a word that you would wish you would never have to say out loud. That's probably a musical direction of some kind or a musical tune. And then we have verse 2. O Lord, I have heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our own time, revive it. God, we've heard of how good you can be. We remember the Exodus. We remember your mighty acts. Oh, how I wish you would do another mighty act, that you would save us. That you would save us from all the warring armies that have sort of made us a pawn in their game. And then verses 3 through, was it 16? Yeah. We just have kind of this long, mythological poem of God as like the warrior with the rays coming forth from his hand. These are like lightning bolts, right? You think of like Zeus and the lightning and stuff, right? People still say that. When I'm hanging out with people in Malden Hall and somebody makes a joke and you can do this and go, I'm standing back for the lightning. I mean, that still works. Not obviously this morning, you didn't laugh at all, but you know what I'm saying. So you're just studying. You're like, yes, I will use that later. So the rays come forth from his hand. He stopped and shook the earth. Was your wrath, O God, against the rivers? And really it could be against river, imagining river as Yam, the god of water. You know, God is in this mythical battle against water. And getting sun and moon to sort of agree to sign on to his team. You brandished your naked bow. Sated were the arrows at your command. The light of your arrows speeding by. When we read through texts like this, that images God as a warrior, I think it's good for us to consider, who is God to me? What is God like for me? How do I believe God operates in the world? What is the connection between God and nature, or God and the world? These are sort of the questions of adult faith, of mature faith. We're probably not going to think of God in heaven with a quiver of lightning bolts kind of looking and zing. I mean, that's probably not our conception of God. Now, it may have been when we were younger, but I feel like the call of faith in our later years is to really interrogate our faith and ask ourselves questions. A book I discovered this spring was called How I Found God in Everyone and Everywhere. And it's a little bunch of articles, little essays. They're spiritual memoirs. But I just want to share, some books have like a couple quotes at the very beginning. It's, you probably don't, some of you don't read introductions, so you might have missed them. You just skip right past. But let me just read you one little quote from this. And this is from Henri de Lubac, who was a Catholic theologian, I think working in the 50s and 60s. I think he's what would be considered a liberal Catholic theologian. Allow your mind to do twists of knots thinking about that, right? It's like jumbo shrimp, military intelligence, liberal Catholic. What's going on here? But this is what Henri says, and it's a great quote. Now, he's dealing with the fact that probably the Time Magazine article has come out that on the front of it says, God is dead, right? Or is God dead? I forget what it says. But this is something he wrote. God is dead, or so it seems to us, until, round the next bend in the road, we find God again, alive. Once again, God makes himself known. In spite of all that we've left behind on the road, all that was only food for the journey, all that was only a temporary shelter, until we had to make a fresh start. I kind of like that quote because it does two things. It sort of holds together what our theology might be like, what we believe about God, and then this idea that we're on the move, that things are temporary, that we're sort of building what we think about God and our beliefs and our creeds. We're building those for a while and they're stable for a while, and then something happens and they're not stable and we kind of have to move on, move to something else. The end of Habakkuk is probably the best bit. And that's just the last three verses there, 17, 18, and 19. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. Just like the kids, we experience anger, frustration, sadness. You could write your own little couplet like Habakkuk did. Though this happened, though that happened, though the other. I mean, just think about it, right? Addiction, breast cancer, divorces, families are not the way we thought they would be. All these things that we face. Yet, our faith is in God, not on these other things, right? We have this sense of God's persistent presence in our lives. We don't know why things happen. I mean, Paul talks about all the stuff, and you know, he does a great argument in verses in chapters 9 and 10 and 11 and in Romans, and really the best bit is when he just shuts up and just says, oh, the wisdom of God. How unsearchable are his understandings. Who knows the mind of God? It's just that God is this persistent presence, and that persistence sometimes feels annoying, because God just will never leave us alone. But that persistence is also precious, because God is with us despite and because and yet and nevertheless. And so our faith, our peace, our hope, our joy is in God today and tomorrow and forever.